take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Corinthians. I don't know why, but the Lord just led me this way this afternoon as I prayed and was thinking about the service, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I've called this lesson tonight the Christian's approach to Christmas. The Christian's approach to Christmas. And you're going to find out in the lesson tonight, we're going to use the word we, because the Bible uses the word we. And when Paul is using the word we in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, he's talking about us. He's talking about God's people. He's talking about the redeemed. He's talking about those that have been washed in the blood, those that are headed out of here, those that ought to know what Christmas is really all about. Amen. And I thank God for that. We had a tremendous time tonight with the teenagers, and I'm praying that God will just deal with hearts. I used the scripture over there tonight, Noah being warned of God, and this is what got me, Brother Steve, of things not seen as yet. It had never rained, let alone flooded, but God sent Noah a warning. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll read the book of Revelation, God has sent this generation a warning. And beloved, if you think it was bad in Noah's day, it's fixing to get a whole lot worse. And we went over and talked about things not seen as yet. You ain't seen those things yet, but that don't mean they're not coming. Amen. So tonight, let's look at this together. Stand with me for just a moment. Let's read a few verses of Scripture here and get right into the lesson tonight. Thank you for being here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Excuse me. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." If correctly read, that's the first 15 verses. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you for your presence tonight. God, I pray for those, Lord, in the teen room tonight. Lord, as I look into eyes, I can't look into hearts. Sometimes, Lord, the eyes reveal our Father in need. God, I just pray tonight, whatever that need might be, that need would be met in the Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, tonight that, Lord, our church family, Lord, all of us, everyone, without, Lord, the loss of one, would make it, Lord, to the cross, that we might make it to glory. And Father, I pray tonight now that this lesson would prove to be a blessing. We're headed into a season, Lord, where a lot of people are going to be miserable. God, that's not us. Oh, Lord, We have reason to rejoice tonight. And Lord, we rejoice in the good things of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for every family present. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. We're going to look at just five phrases tonight in this text. The first phrase is, we know. Aren't you glad tonight, as God's people, we know what Christmas is all about? Aren't you glad, as God's people, we're talking about the Christian's approach to Christmas? There's some things that we know that the world don't know. That's why, beloved, they're going to go into stores and they're going to run over one another and they're going to be rude to one another. They're going to cuss one another. Amen. And sometimes even stampede one another because they do not understand that it's not about the stuff, but it's about the Savior that came into the world to give His life for us. But you and I know. Paul said, we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. We know, according to the verses we read on Sunday night, this world's not our home, and that the outward man's perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Those are things that you and I, as God's people, we're not guessing about. We know. And so it's going to help us, amen, through this season. The Bible said, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. I love this word, eternal. Amen. I like the song. I don't remember all the lines to it, but I ain't going to need this house no longer. Ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the shingle. Ain't got time to fix the door. I'm going to a place, beloved, where nothing will ever need to be repaired. Amen. The foundation never going to rot. Amen. The roof is never going to leak. The air, the gaskets around the doors. I'm telling you, beloved, we're headed home. And God's going to give us a new body likened to the glorious Son of God. And we're going to be there with Him eternally, forever. We know. I want to say this tonight. I believe as we look at how the season and Christmas has been commercialized. And listen, if we're not careful, I said if we're not very careful, amen, we'll get so involved in this and that and this. And sometimes, you know, even as Brother Steve put up on the screen, the schedule, and I saw a conflict in the schedule, Brother Steve. I think I mentioned maybe going out that afternoon after the Christmas party. That ain't going to work when you got play practice that night. It just ain't going to work. So I'm going to have to do something else. I'll pick another time. Amen. But listen, I'm just saying, you look at that schedule and it's full, and thank God for a full schedule. But don't let a full schedule cause you to miss, beloved, the Christ of Calvary that really Christmas is all about. Amen. And that's just the church schedule, let alone in plugging in our personal schedule. And My wife said to me the other day, she said, are we going to go to North Carolina and watch Sawyer and them's, what is it, honey, the program, their Christmas program in their school? How many knows Pastor would love to, but Pastor's having to get to a place in his life where I have to pick. Say amen. I don't like it, beloved, but you just get to a place you can't do everything. But we know what Christmas is all about. But watch this. The Bible said we groan. Look in verse number 2. For in this we groan. Now Paul is talking here about looking forward to that new body, being clothed upon with that house from heaven. But I'm telling you, as we think about Christmas, there's some things that causes us to groan in our spirit. Amen. I was encouraged yesterday. I went to the hospital. I went to two different rooms in the ICU. I went to a room on the sixth floor. And I came back down, and God would have it, there was a man that called me about a month ago. And he said, Pastor, I'd like for you to preach my funeral. I said, okay, brother, what's going on? He said, well, on December the 6th, I have a tumor in my brain. And he said, they're going to operate on me. And he said, if it doesn't go well, he said, will you preach my funeral? This man knows God. I told him, I said, brother, you've already preached your funeral, but I'll stand and tell the ones that's there about Jesus and the one that can take them to heaven, amen, when they leave this world. I said, I'll sure do that. Well, as I was coming out of the hospital, and listen, I can't tell you how my heart swelled. There they are. They're sitting there pre-admitting for next week.
And I said, boy, this is of God. This is a divine appointment. And so I knelt there. We had conversation for just a couple of minutes. And I knelt there in the hospital beside that man and with his wife and prayed, brother. And I'm telling you, God met with us in prayer. We had a special time right there. I'm talking about people coming and going. Well, when I got done, I had this sense that somebody was with us. But I didn't know that. I didn't look. But when I got done praying, I raised my head up, and there was three ladies standing there. I said, ladies, can I ask you a question? I said, did you stop because we were praying? And they said, we sure did. You know what I said? Thank God. That's what I told them. I said, people won't even pull off the road for a funeral procession anymore. They have no respect for the things of God. And this lady said, well, I pull off the road. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, there's things that causes us to rejoice in the season, but there's other things that causes us to groan in our spirit. The Bible said the whole creation groans and travails and looks forward to the deliverance. The Bible said in Isaiah, the trees of the field are going to clap their hands and they're going to rejoice when we're delivered out from under this curse. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, there will be no more curse. Amen. Ain't that going to be a good day? The Bible said here, if so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this same thing as God, also given us the earnest of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, how do you know I'm going to make it? How do you know you're going to make it? Beloved, listen, God, when he saved us, he put the Holy Ghost down inside of us. And the Holy Ghost, beloved, is going to see to it. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said he would seal us until the day of redemption. You say, why didn't he seal us past the day of redemption? There'll be no need for a seal then. Amen. We're going to have a new body. Praise the Lord. We'll have that eternal life with him forever and ever. Watch this now. Christmas is approached to Christmas. We know some things the world don't know. We groan, amen. The Bible said, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. You know what we need to be doing? We need to have our eyes open. We need to be looking for somebody that don't understand the meaning of Christmas. We need to be looking for an opportunity to explain to them what Jesus means to us, amen, and what Christmas is really all about. Watch this now. In verse number 6 through 8, I wrote this down. We're confident. Not only do we know, and not only do we groan, but the Word of God said we're confident. There's a lot of people in the world that don't know where to place their confidence. Paul said we're not of the circumcision. I believe it was Philippians chapter number 3. He said we have no confidence in the flesh. How many say tonight, listen, our confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Look what the Bible said here. For therefore, we're always confident. In verse number 6, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said, for we're confident. Here's the words again. I say, I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Where does our confidence come from? Walking by faith. Where do we walk by faith? Because our confidence is not in our flesh. Our confidence is in our Lord. In our Heavenly Father, amen. There are going to be a lot of people as we approach this season. They don't know. They don't groan. They think this is all there is to it. Some people's been taught, beloved, you live down here and you die and it's over. Oh no, you live down here and you die and you're going to be somewhere forever. Amen. Either in the presence of God or, beloved, in the absence of God and God's people and God's heaven. And so we know when we groan, we're confident. Paul said we have no confidence in the flesh. I love that. Now let me give you this tonight. The fourth thing I want to show you tonight. As we approach Christmas, we know, we groan, we're confident. Listen, my wife and I, Brother Houston, I didn't get to tell you the other day. I didn't steal it, but I borrowed a table. We have a dining room table. I thought it seated 8. It seats 10. And that wasn't nearly enough. So I took a table from the church. another little table that we had there for the kids. There's 22 people there at Thanksgiving. My wife said to me the other day, she said, we're going to take that table back? I said, we're going to have to bring it right back if we do. I said, because Christmas is coming. Amen. And then she said to me today, she said, we can't use that table at Christmas. She said, there'll be Christmas presents around the tree. I said, they'll just have to stay around the tree and we'll eat. Then we'll take a table out of the living room. Amen. And listen, I love it. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, I'm confident, thank God, that Jesus will be in the middle of what we're doing at the church and what we're doing in our house. Amen. He'll be in the middle of it. He's not going to be excluded. He's going to be the guest right in the middle of everything. Amen. That we do. And I believe he's pleased with that. Watch this now. The next thing. Number four, we labor. You know, Brother Gary, he acted like Sunday night when I mentioned getting the float ready. He acted like he'd rather get out of that. He laid down in the pew back there and tried to disappear. Brother, you're like me. You're too big to disappear. Amen. Only thing going to help me and you to disappear be the rapture, Brother Gary. Amen. That's the only way we're getting out of here. Amen. But he called me today, and he said, when are we going to have a trailer? And I told him, I said, we'll get there Monday. I said, I want to help you. I want to work on the truck, too. Get that big cross put up on the truck. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, it's not going to just happen. Somebody's going to have to work. The Christmas play ain't going to just happen. Somebody's going to have to work. The choir, Brother Junior, it don't just happen. Somebody's going to have to work. Amen, Brother Ralph? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you have a great Christmas at your house, it ain't going to just happen. Somebody's going to have to work. I love it because the work is rewarding when it's God's work. The Bible said here, we labor. Notice what the Bible said here in verse number 9. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, in other words, whether we're here or whether we're with the Lord, that we may be accepted. Watch this now. Here's where a lot of people miss it. They want to be accepted of the pastor. They want to be accepted of their Sunday school teacher. They want to be accepted of their spouse. They want to be accepted of their children. They want to be accepted of their family. How many's with me right here? But the Bible said when we're laboring, what ought to be on our mind is that labor acceptable to Him. We labor that we may be accepted of Him. But beloved, listen. What I do in this world is not going to pass before Brother Steve. And what Brother Steve does in this world is not going to pass before Pastor. But beloved, we're both going to stand at a judgment seat. And what we do is going to pass through the fire. Amen. And the Word of God said some of it's going to be like wood and hay and stubble and it'll be consumed. But others' parts will be like gold and silver and precious stone. The hotter it gets, the purer it is. Amen. That's what we're looking for. We labor. We labor. I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good what? Works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You say, Pastor, you're preaching a work salvation? Not if you know me. But I do preach a salvation that works. Amen. Why in the world would somebody want to take... Why would somebody want to trust something that won't even take them to church to take them to heaven? That's plain. But I tell you, I'd be worried about my faith if it wouldn't take me to the house of God. Amen. If my faith didn't involve my billfold, I'd be worried about my faith. If my faith didn't involve loving others and trying to help somebody else along the way, I'd be worried about... We love these two verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Love those verses. Verse 10 is just as important. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. God already settled it before I was saved. That when I got saved, I ought to go to work. Amen? And I believe it's important, beloved. Listen, we labor. My wife, bless her heart. I'm telling you what's the truth. She got my daughter to help her carry the Christmas tree up. She's got one of them Christmas trees that's three parts. And we saw one advertised the other day, didn't we, Miss Eve? And that woman just unfolded it. She went, whoop, there it went. Now she probably want one of them, amen. Well, when that one tears up in 20 years, we'll get one. Her next husband can get her one. I'll be home, amen. Watch this now. Watch this. We labor. She put a lot of work into that, Brother Houston. Why did she do that? She got them limbs out there just right. Some of the lights didn't work. She had to work on them. She got them ornaments. And she broke two of them. Boy, I'm glad I didn't break them. Just like that day when she backed over the cat. I'm glad I didn't back over the cat. Amen. She'd have went to heaven wondering if I'd done it on purpose. I don't know if it was Brother Jack or Brother Long, somebody. No, it must have been Brother Jack because Brother Long, never mind, I ain't even going to say that in the pulpit. Amen. He told him what he was doing on Wednesday night. And I'm just going to say it like this. He was in the backyard building a house for his cats. That ain't the way he said it. But anyway, Brother Jack, I think I heard him on tape say something about a cat. He's just not too fond of a cat. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. My wife has worked and worked and worked. The lights are just right. The ornaments are just right. And I'm going to tell you right now, Laura, you know it. She ain't doing it for her. There's a bunch of grandbabies coming. The children are coming. It ain't going to be long till the grandbabies will be having children. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the way things work. Amen. And I'll tell you, she's not doing it for herself. And beloved, the happy labor in this world is the labor that we don't do for ourselves. And the happiest labor is not the labor that we do for the grandchildren, though that's happy. Not the labor that we do for our church, though that's happy. But the labor that we do for our Master, for our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. That is the happiest labor. You know, Brother Steve, I don't know if people understand or not, but some of these ladies, I don't know what they're going to do. They ain't never baked 30 cookies in their life. 36. Oh, 30. Okay. I stand corrected. Amen. Repeat the line. They ain't never baked 36 cookies in their life. And now they're going to get 36 cookies. I can see some of you ladies now going down there and you're getting that roll out of that cooler. And you're cutting that cookie off right there. You don't have to say a word. Amen. Just let them think you labored over that thing. Amen. It'll be just fine. Just don't go buy them that's already cooked, okay? At least bake them. Amen. It'll be all right. Y'all still love me? Amen. Sister Kay, you going to make them from scratch? You are. Good deal. Amen. I want some of Kay's. Amen. When they come. Amen. All right. But anyway, we labor. There's a lot that goes on. We labor. Why? Number 10, verse 10, we labor with the judgment seat in mind. Our labor, as we go through Christmas and what we do for the Lord, we need to have the judgment seat in mind. And then we labor with lost sinners in mind. Look at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. I want to tell you, listen to me. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but the greatest gift that we could give to the Lord. We can't actually give it, but we can be a part of it. And I'm going to go into the last thing right here, would be to see somebody come to Jesus. See somebody discover what Christmas really is all about. Somebody to have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Somebody to be forgiven. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now watch this. This is the last thing. We know, we groan, we're confident, and we labor. But the last thing is, we're ambassadors. Look at verse 20. The Bible said, now then, we are ambassadors for Bible way. That ain't what it said, is it? It said we're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody that is in one place, representing their homeland, representing really another country. You remember in the book of Hebrews, they might have been mindful to return to their own country, but now they seek a better country. Honey, this world is not our home. We're down here representing our real home. And God wants us to be ambassadors. We're ambassadors. I'm going to give you several things real quickly. Number one, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 18. And all these things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to ask you a question. Who is Paul talking to in this text? Does anybody know? I mean, literally, who is Paul talking to in this church, in this text? Who's he talking to, Brother Steve? The church at Corinth, or the church at Corinth. I've heard it said both ways. I don't know which one's right. I wouldn't name a church Corinth anyway, with the problems that they had going on. But Paul was talking to the church. So when he said, us, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, who was the us? Now listen, do y'all believe that if Paul wanted to say, God has given to me, that he could have said that? But he didn't say that, did he? I'll say this the Bible way tonight. God has not just given to me the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to us. Amen. Us. All those other things we're included in the we're included in this one too. It's us. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me ask you something. When there were people in the New Testament in the book of Acts that were being saved by the scores, by the thousands sometimes, was it just the preachers? Or did those believers, were they not scattered everywhere telling people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So the Christians' approach to Christmas, we ought to understand that we're ambassadors. We know what Christmas is about. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. I sat the other day, Brother Steve. I hadn't listened to it in years. But I went back and listened to that 15-minute presentation. It's actually 16 minutes and 20 seconds. For a Baptist preacher to be aiming for 15 minutes and get done in 16 minutes and 20 seconds is a miracle. But anyway, Brother Mike, there's 39 verses of Scripture. I counted them. I just made a mark every time there was a verse of Scripture. You say, Pastor, why are you mentioning that in this message tonight? Because your word ain't going to help them. My word ain't going to help them. But honey, God has given us the word of reconciliation. If we can share his word with them, they'll never get away from it. Amen. His word will get the job done. The word of God said, being born again, not of an incorruptible seed. Or excuse me, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So God's given us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. And then I'll give you this, and I'm done tonight. God has given us the message of reconciliation. Let me paint you a picture tonight. I've done this before, but there's people here tonight that's not seen this. Come up here, Brother Jason. Come up here, Brother Rick. Both of you's tall. I think both of you's taller than I am. Amen. We're talking about now the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, which one of you wants to be the Lord? It don't matter. You want to be the Lord? Not you. I didn't think so. You wouldn't make a good Lord anyway. Amen. I love this guy, don't you? Amen. Now listen, here's what reconciliation's about. You know where you and I are? Here's the Lord and here's the sinner. We're standing between them. Did you hear me? We're standing between them. Now, we're not the reason they're apart. Sin is the reason they're apart. Ain't that right? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the ministry of reconciliation is taking a sinner in one hand, walking with the Savior in the other hand. And I'll never forget when God showed me this. See, a lot of people that believe in soul winning, they boast about what they've done. But when this ministry is done right, watch this. I introduce these two guys. and you don't even see me. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Him. Thank you, Brother Rick. I guess he made a good Savior. I don't know. We'll see after a while. I know Brother Jason made a good sinner. Amen. He made a big sinner, didn't he? Amen. Y'all see that? You introduce them to each other and you're in the background. God's getting the glory. I'll tell you something right now. Sister Marge said to me Sunday morning, she said, 5 years ago, 5 years ago, she said, you got up one morning, instead of going after two deers, you came after two other deers. But she said, the two deers you got wasn't as pretty as the two deers you would have got. That's what she said. I said, well, I beg to differ with you. She and Jim are beautiful to me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's a blessing to think that God, the God of heaven, would use the likes of you and I in any way, shape, or form in this ministry of reconciliation. It's not about us. It's about Him. Let me show you something tonight quickly, and I'm done. First of all, we talked about the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. Let's look at the message of reconciliation. Number one, I want to say this. It's a personal message. Look in verse 18. The Bible said, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself. Beloved, listen to me tonight. If you've never been reconciled, how in the world are you going to share the message of reconciliation? In other words, the person that's been reconciled, beloved, they can be a good witness because they know what Jesus did for them. They know that Christ forgave them of their sin. That Christ gave them peace and gave them the love of God in their heart. It's personal. Number two, it's practical. Who better, Brother Steve, to tell the story than someone that's experienced the story that they're trying to tell? Who better to tell somebody about Jesus than somebody that has met Jesus and understands? It's practical. And number three, it's powerful. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 21 and I'm done. The Bible said, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If a sinner ever understands the truth of that verse, Brother Jason, it should have been you hanging on that cross. For He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Beloved, there's a lot of people that think they're righteous because they go to church, because they give an offering, because they sing a song. But beloved, righteousness is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes our sin on Him, and He gives His righteousness to us. That's really the message of the gospel. That's really why, if you'll study the Bible, Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. He didn't come to escape the cross. He came to go to the cross and give His life a ransom for all. While the world's in the hustle and bustle, while the world's wringing its hands, and while the world's fretting, we, God's people, ought to be rejoicing. My son and I today, we discussed my dad. 7 years now, Daddy's been in glory. My son said to me today, he said, Dad, I miss you. I said, son, I can't open the top on my thermos bottle, Brother Larry, and pour a cup of coffee in that little cup without thinking about Brother John, my daddy. That's the truth. When I was coming up, I didn't even like coffee. And I sure couldn't understand why it'd be 95 degrees outside and somebody'd bring a Stanley quart thermos of coffee. And you must do it, don't you, brother? Brother Jason laughed, so I knew I said something good. I was talking about something besides Fox News, amen. And I got a little grin out of you back there anyway. But Brother Rick, I couldn't understand that. Now every time I turn that thermos bottle up, pour me a cup of coffee, I think about my dad. I told my son today, I said, the first deer Daddy ever killed, you said you used to deer hunt, didn't you, brother? Still do. Well, amen. No wonder I like you. Anyway, first deer Daddy ever killed, got it home, brother, getting ready to skin it out and everything. And you don't know anything about this. But inside the deer is a diaphragm. You don't know anything about that, do you, Brother Steve? Okay. Well, on the tail end of the deer, that's your stomach and your intestines and all that stuff is behind the diaphragm. Well, when you field dress a deer, you've got to take the diaphragm out and go all the way up in there, because now here comes his heart and his lungs and the stuff that's in front of the diaphragm. Got that deer home. I'm talking about memories. Amen. Got that deer home, Brother Gary, and Daddy just half field dressed it. I said, Daddy, I said, what about all this up in here? He said, I just got what I could see, son. Amen. You like that, don't you, brother? I'm talking about memories. I'm going to have a wonderful Christmas. I have some wonderful memories. And it ain't going to be long till we're going to be clothed upon with that house that's from heaven. What about the people in our church? I can't start naming them. I'm talking about 10 years now. Precious, 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 precious saints of God. We're fixing to get back together around the throne. Amen. Brother Steve, it's going to be great, ain't it? It's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to celebrate. Amen. It's all because he was willing to leave heaven and come down here. Take on a body like our body, so that one day after a while we could have a body like his body. Ain't that good? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the scripture. Lord, that little word we grabbed my attention. It's us, God's people. Lord, the Christian should never be guilty of approaching Christmas the way the world does. Help us, our Father, this season. Remember, Lord, a Sunday school lesson Brother Brian brought years ago on being overcharged. God, it would be so easy to get so busy that we'd run right past the blessing of Christmas. Help us not to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.